I have a stir in my spirit that before I go into the teaching, I want to ask us for questions. Questions from yesterday. Even if it's something that is not directly related, but it can still be connected. Just, who was around yesterday? Or you followed online yesterday? Because I don't want anybody to leave this place and there are things that we talked about and they don't understand. Are you getting me? You know, the way the Lord pictured this conference to me, he said, even if it means gathering the people around you with a book and paper. One of our sisters, how will I put it now? Her family is of the other religion. But God encountered her here and she got born again. Are you with me? And this season is close to the Ramadan and Salah. And she, because of that, her family mandated her to come. And so, I said, I'm going to vow. I will sit beside her. Which of us sit and open the Bible? Now, that one I like pass. I'm telling you, where I can sit beside a person, bring out a sheet of plain white paper, and say, we start from here. This is what this is. Okay, if you connect it to this place, and you check this place, this is what you get. Are you getting me? And let me tell you something. I know it may be a little stressful to come on a Saturday morning after the evening session, but God taught me something recently, which I've been doing for a long time, but I did not know how powerful it was until he showed me. Spiritual things have greater impact when they are compressed. That's the major difference between the early church and the current church. So, in today's church, if somebody prays, maybe they have a prayer meeting and they prayed for 5 hours, the person may not pray again until 5 months later or 5 weeks later. What they don't realize is that in that 5 weeks' time, they've depleted almost everything that they gathered in that prayer. But the early church, they were having their services every day. Do you know what that means? Do you know how powerful that is? That you start today, tomorrow you continue. Next tomorrow you continue. Next tomorrow you continue. And in 7 days, you may achieve what it may take somebody else 7 months to achieve. Are you getting this? Because the impact is complex, back to back. And that's why, after a powerful meeting like we had yesterday, it's important that we continue again today. Continue again in the afternoon, in the evening. Go again in the morning. And if I were you, on Monday, I will continue again. Are you with me? Keep on following. Yes, Pastor will go to Port Harcourt to have their own, then to Lagos. If I were you, I will follow everything. That's why I've decided that even in the month of April, our teachings will be faith. Are you getting me? So that you will get it. You know, there's so much I want to teach. Sometimes, looking at my notes, I'm like, almost, where will I start from? I wrote something down. Faith is not just believing God, it is behaving God. Behaving God. The way God responds to a thing, how do you respond? That's how you know you are walking in faith. And let me tell you, you can actually master it. You can master this subject of faith to the point where you walk in it almost effortlessly. Almost effortlessly. Many times, part of the reasons why people don't really understand the faith teaching, in all sense of humility, they are listening to experts. You didn't hear what I said. They are listening to people who have gone far, very far in it, and they don't even know where to start from. For instance, let me give an instance. The great Bishop Oyedepo laid hands on me quite a number of times. One day, he gave a testimony that faith does not see the opposition. Listen. That his wife was pregnant with a baby. And the wife came back one day and said, I saw blood.
And he was like, it cannot happen. Can I have my food, please? He said, is it blood or baby you saw? He said, I saw blood. I said, forget about it. And they still delivered the baby. One man, one living faith pastor, he was telling his own story. He said, he was trying to tell us that it's not everything you see some people do that you just do. His own wife came back and said, I saw blood. He said, yes, now is my own time to practice. He said, it cannot happen. Can I have my food, please, in the night? It happened, though. They said, they're running to the hospital. Say, blood has poured everywhere. I'm sure you have seen things like that, right? Or you have heard of things like that. Pastor, this testimony is so powerful. As the pastor was preaching, I just said, drop my khaki. And as I dropped this khaki, 2 weeks later, so and so thing happened. Boom. One of the friends say, oh, me, I supposed to drop my own khaki. You go and drop your own. They trek, eh? So, what is the difference? Why? Part of the reasons is that they are listening to experts, people who they are working in it, but they have gone too far to be able to even break it down. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what makes faith faith is what I was talking about yesterday. First of all, you must get substance. Are you with me? Something must happen in your spirit. Tell your neighbor, something must happen in your spirit. Did you get that? The word of God must have gained root in your spirit. At least the word of God regarding that issue. Are you getting me? You must have engaged God to the point where your spirit man has captured it. I will talk about this more in the afternoon. But all of this I'm saying is to lay the foundation why I'm teaching like this. Are you following me? This is the same reason why there are some people who come out for altar call and are not saved. Because they came out and said the confession, but there was nothing yet in their hearts. The gospel had not entered their hearts. And sometimes, many of you who got born again, you don't even know when you got born again. Just discover that you got to a season in your life where all of a sudden you were like, why am I continuing like this? That was the time when the word of God had sat inside. Are you getting me? That's when the word of God, for instance, sorry to use this vulgar example, when a man and a woman meets in the sense of marriage or intercourse, the woman cannot really tell when there was a fertilization. It's just that at a point, she begins to notice that I feel like vomiting. See, that's a sign that something has happened inside. Are you getting me? And so, the planting of the word of God is so important to the point where you can feel it. You can literally touch it. I know that this thing is done. Are you getting this? Tell me the planting of the word of God. So when we preach the gospel, we must preach it. Do you realize that? My God. In the way people are saved today, it is a little bit different from the way people are saved were saved those days. When the apostles were preaching the gospel, do you realize that the apostles were not the one that gave the altar call? It was the people. While the preaching was going on, they said, what shall we do to be saved? That means the word of God had preached them inside. These days, to lead somebody to Christ, you finish preaching, say, oh yeah, say after me. Yeah. Once I talk, the person is still arguing with you. Say, let me just say it, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your child. Oh God, time they go. Just talk. Make me your child. That guy is not saved.
Are you getting me? Because there was no genuine conviction that has sat on his heart to say, Lord, I need you in my life. Are you with me? Let me read something to you. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Now, the Bible says, this thing is too sweet. Where will I start from? Where will I now stop? Okay. Let me start from verse Romans chapter 10, from verse 9. Or from verse 10. Romans 10, from verse 10. It says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you seeing that it says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness? Are you with me? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you seeing verse 13? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That means the calling is because something has happened in their heart. Are you seeing this? How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Let me tell you, one sign that you have believed is that you will be calling out for God. Are you getting this? If they are still forcing you to call out, it has not entered. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You know what you are seeing here? You are seeing the process, the analogy, or the process diagram of faith. That you will confess with your mouth, oh, you will speak, but before you speak, you must have heard. And what you have heard would have entered inside your heart. Are you getting this? It is true, confession is required for the process to be complete, but that's the ending part of it. Are you getting this? The word of God must have first entered your ear, from your ear to your heart, and from your heart to your mouth. Are you getting this? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have all not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means you have to hear what God is saying about that thing so much to the point where your heart has embraced it as yours. Are you getting this? And then you begin to confess. In fact, sometimes your confession is to help you hear more. You are saying with your mouth that your ears will hear it and it will enter into your spirit. Praise the Lord. So, questions. Or I should ask questions based on what we learned yesterday. So yesterday, what was the first definition of faith we said? Faith is the life we live that points to the the life we live that points to the anticipation of the coming of Christ, right? Then we said faith is the demonstrative response to the promises of God. The life of faith are steps you take because you believe in God, right? You believe God. What else did we say? Faith is tangible. What else did we say? I know we said many things. Did we say faith is the superimposing of the reality of the invisible realm in the visible? We said that, right? It is giving substance to the natural. What does this prove to you? Already, you need to go back and listen. Are you getting me? To go back and listen.
again and again, listen again and again. We talked about the integrity of God, right?
Yes,
sir. Hey, the yes sir is reducing. We talked about the integrity of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Then we talked about what has God said. Okay, so this morning, before I go on, please, do you have questions? Let me try and wait. Questions, please. Even if it's not something I've talked about, Pastor, I have a question. Please. Good. Let's give her a mic. Tell your neighbor, welcome to class. Somebody said it's only in the church that a preacher will finish preaching. They will not ask, do you understand? They just say, I know you have been blessed. And they just stand up and go. And everybody may clap or something. So I want to change that.
When you read a scripture and probably it has an actual meaning, but you see a scripture like, I don't know the scripture to use now, but probably you sense from that scripture that it's for you. Let's mm-hmm. say healing is their children's bread, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it has an actual meaning. It has a different meaning, but you just...
I will help you.
In another way, and you have faith in that scripture that it works for you. So in that situation, what happens?
What happens? So, for instance, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Let's check it. Acts 16 verse 25. I love to answer questions. I'm telling you. I feel like the church is losing out if we don't allow people to ask their questions. We don't like anybody to challenge anything. People will not be deep. Are you with me? Acts 16:25. Everybody. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened. Glory! And everyone's bands were loosed. Brethren, we are going to praise God right now. And as we praise God, all doors shall be opened. But Pastor, the way you are using this verse is not the way they use the verse. Are you getting me? Please, am I making sense? They were not even trying to praise and sing because they wanted the door to be opened. It was because they just wanted to praise God in spite of them being in prison. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? But now, our pastor has come and said, this midnight, everybody, wake up. Wake up. We are going to praise God. And as we praise, the prison doors will be opened. Am I communicating what is on your mind?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. So, now, I've given you a perfect example. So, ask the question again.
Okay. We take the wrong interpretation from Bible verses and then we put it upon ourselves and pray with it. In that situation, is it going to work? The faith we have in it.
Good. So, in some cases, it will work. In some cases, it will not work. And I'm going to tell you why. It is because you have to be careful of what you call wrong interpretation. Are the scenarios the same? Are the applications the same? So, in this application, they were in prison. Are you with me? They were in prison. And they praised and sang to God, and God showed up for them. I can assure you, anybody that sees that scripture and the Holy Ghost press it on their hearts, that what you need to do right now is to praise me. In this challenge you are going through, as you praise me, my answers will come. This is the bedrock of our challenge. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the Holy Ghost presses that word in your heart, another person may be in a challenge, and what the Holy Ghost wants him to do is not praise, but prayer and fasting. I don't know if you're getting me. If the Holy Ghost has not pressed it as substance into your heart, that one is not what will work for you. Because the applications, are similar. They were both in prison. This one, people were in prison. A person may be going through a situation. Are you getting this? So this is why you have to learn how to pay attention to what was the Holy Ghost wants me to do. And it will work. It's not the exact same scenario, but it will work. There are other situations where you are trying to use the Bible verse that cannot be connected at all. It cannot be connected at all. Auntie, it will not work. It will not work. Now, I have to think well to give you a situation like that. Let me think, or let me scan my spiritual, in my internal Bible, to check for another scenario that people try to use. Who can find? Give me one. Give me one while I'm checking. Okay. That one is a little bit complex. It make me teach longer. No, don't use that one. It will make me teach longer. Thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Brother, there is nothing you cannot do. There is nothing you cannot do. You can lift up this building. You can take up a caterpillar. See, you have to go. See, it will not work. Because you have to go back and first of all understand the scenario of what happened. Can it be applied to me? I don't know if you are getting me. So let's go to that one. Philippians chapter 3. This meeting, if a person does not love the Bible or the things of God, it may be a little bit boring. But please, if it's boring for you, please, I'm sorry. You are strengthened in Jesus' name. Go to Philippians chapter 3. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sorry, Philippians chapter 4. Now, Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can marry anybody I want to marry. I can get any money I want to get. I can do all things. Now, before you know, understand what I can do all things means, let's go to verse 11. Paul is speaking here. He says, not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Therewith to be content. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What is he saying? Paul was talking about the givings of the Philippian church. How that it was them and the Macedonian church that were sending him money when he went to preach at a certain place. And at a point he was telling them, I'm not saying these things so that you will give me money. I'm just trying to tell you what's really happening. Are you with me? At a point he even told them, I'm telling you to give so that there will be fruit in your spiritual account. And then he told them, listen, I know how to abase. I know how to to manage when things are not much, and I know how to be full. I know how to live large, and I know how to abase. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when there is much, I can manage. When there is much, I can use it well. When there is little, I cannot use it very well because of Christ. Christ will always help me out no matter what I'm going through. That's the context of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not that you can do everything. There are some things you cannot do. Christ will not strengthen you to do everything. Are you getting me? He will only strengthen you to do the things that are in the scope of what he has planned for you. That's why I'm going to go into what I want to teach today. Faith agrees with God. You know, have you heard that statement that says, when your faith says yes, God cannot say no? The only reason why your faith will say yes is because God has said yes. God cannot say no when your faith has said yes, because the faith you have, it came from him. Faith is a gift from God, though. Do you understand that? It's something that God gives you. It's the substance of things not seen. How will you have a substance of something you cannot see? God has to give it to you. And first of all, he gave you his word, right? So even though you cannot see some things, if his word has said so, you have to accept it. But you have to know that faith only begins when you can find out what God has said, choose his will, and agree with it. Are you getting this? So there are some verses that seem like they don't apply, but if you check the scenarios and their parallel, they will actually work. Are you getting me? If you check the scenario and is not what you have a parallel with or a pattern with, it will not work. Are you getting this? And so we have to be careful of what we say is wrong interpretation. Sometimes it may not be wrong interpretation. There is a difference between interpretation and application. Did you hear what I just said? There is a difference between interpretation of the scriptures and application of the scriptures. Now, if I want to apply this verse, Philippians 4, it means that maybe something happens and maybe I have a downtime, maybe I lost my job. And it looks like, now that I've lost this job, how will I survive? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether there is a job or whether there is no job, I will be okay. Are you getting this? So now, my case is not exactly the case of Paul, but there is a pattern, there is a connection that, okay, I'm going through a tough time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even in this economy, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are going to still buy the land. Are you with me? We are still going to still build our church. Are you seeing application now? Now, with this, that's faith. Are you getting this? Oh, I lost something. Don't worry. I will still move forward. I can do all things through Christ. We strengthen it. Pastor, I don't want to say something, but it cannot happen in Jesus' name. You lost your phone? Don't worry. Another one is coming. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, application now. Are you getting this? Any other question? Please. Another one always follows after the first.
There was a house thing that we do, we communicate up the word of God. Do
good.
Yeah, so this, it was about faith. He said faith is a substance of hope, things you hope for. So at the same time, he said that it is only a weak faith that we say God time is the best, that should take it by force.
Only a weak faith will say God's time is the best. You should take it by force. Now, let me explain something. Please, do you understand this question? That faith is the substance of hope. If it's weak, it will be pushing it into the future. God's time is the best. Now, this is why I must do today's teaching. Faith agrees with God. You need to know what are the things that God has said must happen now, and what are the things that God has said will happen later. For instance, the coming of Christ will happen at a certain time in the future. You cannot take it by force now, even though it is the promise of God. Even though we all gather and say, "Oh God, send him now," God say, "Okay, I'm coming." Are you getting me? There are things that God has said now. For instance, your healing. It has been done since Christ died and resurrected. Are you getting this? If you are at that point where you are saying, "No, I will be healed later. I will be healed later. I will be healed later." Are you seeing that? That's you are trying to push it into the future so that you don't have to contend for it now. Are you getting that? But there are other things that will be in the future. There are some specific details that it will be in the future. For instance, let me give you an instance. Someone like Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah, they were believing God for a child. Listen. They were believing God for
a child. And they waited all those years for a child, and the child did not come. Because God had planned that the child that Elizabeth will give birth to will be the forerunner of the Messiah. And until the Messiah comes, Elizabeth will not have a child. Do you know that story? Please, am I on my own? Or I should explain more? Should we look at the Bible? Should we open the Bible and look at it? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. From verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, if you read further, if you jump to verse 26, the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Mary, whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed are thou among women. That's like I'm the only one reading this thing. Yeah, everybody continue.
And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of temptation
this
should be.
Read on. Mm-hmm.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Read on.
Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall be shadowed upon thee.
Glory. Now read verse 36 closely with a loud voice.
And behold,
thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son
in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren.
Are you seeing this? So that means Elizabeth's pregnancy was supposed to be a pointer to the coming of the Messiah. Are you seeing this? So now, that's why, even though they had been praying since, they are walking blameless before the Lord. Are you getting this? They were doing everything. Everything you would have said that a person should have been doing in faith, they were doing. But because God had a specific plan out of the usual, you couldn't call her faith weak, because it was not happening immediately. Are you getting this? So, faith agrees with God. If God has said something should have been done by now, and you are postponing it into the future, that's a weak faith. Are you getting this? But if God says something should happen in the future, and you say you want it to happen now by force, there is nothing. That's a rebellious faith. And many people are in that shoe too. Many people are in that shoe. Some of them are even angry with God. Why has this thing not happened? There are some things that are already clearly stated out in his word. That, oh, this is what God wants. For instance, your divine provision.
I'm telling you, you have to trust God for it now. Now, the Bible says even the birds of the air, they do not sow, they do not reap. They don't labor, but your heavenly Father clothes them. How much more you? That means you have to reject that life where you are always in penury. Are you with me? However, there is more. God can have a plan for you to become a kingdom financier that will be sending the gospel around the world. And he knows that if he gives it to you now, are you with me? You may squander everything. So there are things that are already clear in the word of God that you should accept and fight for and insist that it must happen now. Are you getting me? Check the Bible. There was nobody, there was nobody that came to Jesus and said, I want healing. And he said, go and come back. There was nobody. That means healing is always in the now. Are you getting this? There was nobody that was hungry. And Jesus said, don't worry. It's not the will of God for you to get food now. He gave them immediately. Immediately. And in fact, he will multiply it so much, that by the time they are done, after 5,000 men, apart from women and children, are done eating, there will still be 12 baskets. That means God does not want you to be begging to eat. Are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't want you to be living that life where you are just scrounging. How will I survive? How will I survive? How will I? You have to fight against it now. Praise the Lord. God does not want you to be in the position where you have a medical bill, like your loved one is sick and you have no money to pay for it. No. No. Are you with me? Okay. So, I've just given you some things to know what to fight for. Your loved one is sick and is dying, and you say, oh, maybe it's the will of God for this person to die. My brother, contend, hold on to what God has said. Except Jesus specifically showed you that he wants that one to go. Mm-mm. If he has not told you that, don't assume it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? Does that make sense? Any other question? Any other question? Okay, good. Okay, you have one. Our cameraman has one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I want to talk about help. Why do God give our help to men? Like, if you want to help me, he will ask a man to help me. Why can't he just help me directly? And again, do God need help?
Okay, let me start from the second one. Does God need help? Yes. He has decided to limit his sovereignty to the work of men. For instance, when God wanted to get the Ethiopian eunuch saved, why didn't Jesus just appear on his road like he did for Saul? And even the case of Saul, after Saul had the encounter of Jesus on the road, Jesus still needed Ananias to go and preach and pray for Saul. God has determined that he will use men for men. Are you with me? So if God wants to interface with other men, he will use men. Even to do his own work, he will use men. I don't know if you are getting me. God has established that in this world, in this life, he will not use angels to preach to you. Angels can assist you. Angels can minister to you. Angels can support you in many other ways. But there are many things, and in many cases, God will use men. In fact, God can use angels to go and talk to men to help you. For instance, Cornelius was to be preached to. The angel of the Lord went to Peter and said, there are three men that are going to come and see you from Joppa. I have sent them. I don't know if you are getting this. So God, it is just a pattern that God has established. He said, I will raise up Abraham and I will make him a blessing. Anyone that blesses him shall be blessed. And I will make him a blessing to all the families of the earth. God has planned that he will use men. And in fact, he has planned to use you to help somebody. And he has planned to use somebody to help you. It's the way God has done it. It's just the way God has done it. And I think it's for one reason. So that no man can boast.
Are you getting this? There is no man that is anything today that we claim I am all I am because of my own wisdom without the input of anybody. No man. Not even our president. No man. Not even the president of the World Bank. No man. Even though he was me, somebody recommended you. You know, I cannot forget the story of David and Saul. See, I have great respect for Saul. King Saul. No matter what he did wrong and failed God and all of that, Saul was the one that allowed David to fight. Do you realize that? If Saul did not allow David to fight, he wouldn't have killed Goliath. There would have been oil on his head, but no opportunity. And sometimes what God will do is that he will send an angel to go and convict somebody. Have you ever seen a scripture that says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord? He will send an angel, send something supernatural to touch somebody's heart that will just make a decision and just say, you know what? Overlook the protocol. Let's take him. And that will be the beginning. Usually, when God wants to make great, he will bring you in the presence of a Pharaoh and give you the skill to interpret that Pharaoh's dream. And that's how your lifting will come. Many people want God to leave them without anybody and they will keep having problems. Are you getting this? Many people want God to help them without anybody. They don't want God to use anybody. They don't want anybody to say, I supported him. They don't want anybody. They just want to say, now me. And as long as you keep doing that, you'll be throwing away the opportunities that God is bringing to you. If you handle men wrongly, you have problems. Even Jesus, to fulfill Jesus' prophecy that he will rise up from the grave, there was a Joseph of Arimathea that went and collected his body. Are you getting this? So it is what is the way God has arranged it so that no man can boast. Yes. Yeah, I should explain something. You have a question, Abi? It's coming. Okay, you have a question. Yes. Let me hear from you.
Okay, according to the scriptures, we are supposed to meditate on the word of God day and night. So maybe I want to ask, what are like your best practices to make sure you are meditating on the word of God? Because at times I'm just walking past and people are talking, and somehow the Holy Spirit makes it sound like a scripture, more like it's a call to meditate on something, just get your mind on the scripture. But most times it turns almost impossible because you have to think on something you are working on.
Okay, I'll help you out. Do you understand this question? How do you meditate on the word of God day and night? Well, a simple thing I'm going to ask you. This example is quite a vulgar. When you eat food in the morning, is it every time you eat food in the morning and you go to toilet that same morning? Sometimes you can eat food in the morning and you go to toilet maybe in the evening. That means that food has been working in your body day and night, right? Did you get what I just explained? That food has been in your body. Some of you, the food you ate yesterday is still inside you right now. It's working in your body. A simple way to meditate is to feed. Now, an example of meditation is you see it in the animals, the what they call regurgitation. Those animals that have four stomachs, like cows, goats, and they eat so much and eat so much and store at different places. When they are hungry again, they pull out from what is there and begin to chew it again and take it back. They pull out. A simple way to meditate, if you fill your heart with the word of God so much, you will not try to meditate. Your spirit will be meditating. The problem is that the word of God is so little in people's hearts and they are trying to force out what should happen naturally. If you read the Bible long enough, I'm telling you, your dream will be hearing scriptures. It happens to me. I did hear scriptures of my dream. I ask people who stay with me. I can always wake up in the morning. Hey, have you seen this verse? People who stay around me. Just stay with Pastor David one day. Like last night, there was a Bible question and answer they were having with me. Till
past 12, almost 12:30. Pastor, what do you think about this? I was like, okay, have you not seen this verse? Can you check here? If you check here, you will now see what this one says. Connect it with this one because it's inside. Are you getting this? If you pour enough of the word of God on your inside, you will be meditating on it naturally. I remember the day where I was walking. I cannot forget this point in the university. I was just walking on the road like this. And I said, yeah! And my guy said, don't worry, it's okay. That guy is not... He has small issues. He's a little bit weird. What happened? I was walking on the road and I remembered John chapter 3 verse 8. He says, whosoever is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You cannot see where it's going. You cannot see where it's coming from. But you can hear the sound thereof. I said, oh, so I'm like the wind. You cannot catch me. You cannot attack wind. How do you want to send arrow to wind? I was like, ah, no attack can come to me. You can't catch me. You can't. I was on the road like this. I was going to CST building, College of Science and Technology. I just shouted, yeah, I'm like the wind. My guy said, I leave that guy. He used to go off sometimes. I've read the scripture before. Are you getting me? I've read it before. It has entered me before. But it was at that point, it hit my spirit. Are you getting this? So, for instance, like I'm teaching you right now. In fact, one of the major reasons why you need to come for spiritual meetings like this is because, let me say it now because I don't know if I'm going to remember to say it later. When we preach, I'm storing the word of God in your spirit. It's entering. You may not know, but it's entering. When you are going through a hard time, the Holy Ghost will begin to search out your inside to bring out what is there. All the sermons you have heard before, all the scriptures you have heard before, it's in your spiritual reservoir. As you pray in the spirit and pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost begins to search it and bring it out as rhema. Are you getting me? Have you seen that verse? Typical me. Have you seen that verse in Ephesians 6 that says, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When he was talking about spiritual warfare, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What it's talking about is that taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. If you check it, what was it in the Greek? Which is the rhema. What is rhema? The word of God at a specific moment for a specific situation. For instance, I've shared this story before. The OGs will know the story. Years ago, I was reading my Bible. And I read Ephesians chapter 5. And I got to verse 26, verse 27. That says, for we are members of his flesh and of his bones. I was reading it and I got to that place. When I got to that verse, it was as though the Bible just came out and entered me. And I shouted, I was reading my Bible like this. Hey, I'm a member. My mother just said, what is it again? Because I was in the house. And I was running around her saying, I'm a member. See, I'm a member of his flesh. She's like, member of what? Of his flesh and of his bones. I'm a member. And she was like, we thank God you are a member of his flesh. Glory to God. You are a member. And I rejoiced about that word of God and I went to sleep. 3 years later. Or 2 years later, I cannot really remember the exact detail. I was in Lagos, specifically at somewhere at Magodo. Raji, yes, Raji Ola the Magic Crescent. I was there. And in the night, I felt a being enter my room physically and began to strangle my neck. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't see the person. But I could feel the person physically, like it was a physical being. There was nobody, but I was feeling somebody fighting me. This is people talk about. It's not a lie, yo. And who has experienced such thing before? I was struggling with the person, like that, and we kept on struggling. I was fighting with this person for 45 minutes. I opened the door, ran out of the room. I kept on feeling this thing. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody whisper to me, you are a member of his flesh and of his bones. Ha! That was my deliverance. Obviously, the Holy Ghost has been searching my spirit. What can I bring out as a sword? Yes, taking the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost was searching. What can I bring out? What can I bring out? And that was the one that was available. I just screamed. In fact, I didn't even need to complete it. All I just said was, I'm a member! And it was as if that thing disappeared. Guess what? In the morning, I ran and asked everybody in the house, please, did you hear me shouting? I said, no. It was all quiet. I said, hey. Now some people, they die. So that means if I did not have the Rhema word at that time, he will just, God forbid, call to glory. See, he was in his sleep. You know, there are many things that happen and people don't know. So, the word of God in your spirit, enough, is what will put you over in the day of battle. Because the Lord can bring out something from your spirit. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other question?
Sorry, sir. Just to clarify what he said and your answer, when you say God uses men to help men, it doesn't mean that we should put our focus on certain big people.
I'm telling you, very, very important though. Yes. Usually, when God uses men, it comes in unexpected ways. Because once you start trusting men, you are looking at the arm of flesh. And the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail. So, in the same way, what brings water to your house is the water that has been stored in your tank, not exactly the tap. If you put so much hope on the tap and don't pump water to your tank, one day that tap will run dry. In the same way, if you put your trust in men and ignore the source, one that day those men will disappoint you. Does that make any sense? So God is your source. Men are the channels. Channels can change. God remains the source. Glory.
So, I have a question.
You see?
Okay, sir. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus Christ sent out his disciples,
mm-hmm.
So he gave them some instruction. He said, in my name, like in verse 9, in my name you will heal the sick,
mm-hmm.
you will cleanse the leper, you will raise the dead, and all those miracles. So I discovered that the kind of faith we Christians develop, we can say, okay, it's easy to heal the sick, it's easy to cleanse leper, and those other ones. But that raising the dead, why is it that we find it that, because it just gave that instruction like the normal, it's not as if he said, okay, you get this level of faith, then you can now raise the dead. Thank you, sir.
So, that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. In the Bible, in the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there were only 20 people that were raised from the dead. We are talking about the space of 4,000 years. And God only did, according to that record, 20 of such miracles. That's disturbing. Are you getting what I'm saying? 4,000 years. I'm not talking about 100 years old. Within the space of 4,000 years, only 20 were raised. That shows us something. The priority of God was more about giving life to spiritually dead people than raising back the dead to natural life. Let me explain what I just said very well. The priority of God was more about giving life to spiritually dead people than raising the dead back to natural life. That's why everybody that Jesus raised from the dead, and everybody who rose from the dead, did they die again? Please answer me. Everybody that was risen from the dead, did they die again? Okay. But what makes Jesus' own different was that he rose from the dead never to die again. Amen. Glory. That means raising the dead has to be by the prerogative and the will of God. Yeah, I'm still coming back to faith agrees with God. I have to teach that teaching. Do that teaching. If Jesus does not specifically tell you that he wants to raise this dead, you cannot raise that dead up. I've prayed for the dead before and they've come back to life. Oh. I'm serious. Not once, not twice. But there were some that did not come back. Are you getting me? There were some that did not come back. The prerogative of Jesus is to give life to spiritually dead. Because eventually, all those who believed in Jesus will rise again. And you will rise up with a new body. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't know if you are getting me. You will rise again with a new body. Now, this does not also cancel out praying for the dead when you have to. Are you with me? Except God tells you, leave this one, pray. You are still in faith. Are you getting me? And let me also say this. The same power, the same power that heals the sick, raises the dead. Yes. The same anointing, the same Holy Ghost. I don't know if you get me. Even in Jesus' ministry, how many dead did he raise? He's trying to show you something. Praise the Lord.
Pastor, so...
Okay. I'm hearing you.
There are a few questions online. So the first one is concerning healing and... Okay, the first one says, what about cases where ministers of God are trusting for a healing? Like when they had issues with their body and it looked like God was taking so long to heal them. There are even cases where these ministers minister and people are healed, yet they themselves are not healed. So what is the cause? Is it a lack of faith or what exactly?
Okay. Just before I get to that healing question, let me complete this stuff. Do you realize that just to clarify on this issue of raising the dead, it was only the disciples that he actually told clean lepers, raise the dead. If you check the instructions given to believers after that, if you read Matthew 16 from verse 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that has believed and is baptized, this time shall follow in my name, they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He said nothing about the dead. Have you seen that scripture in the book of Psalms that said, to you, O God, belongeth the issues from the dead? Have you seen that scripture in the book of Psalms? Unto thee, O God, belongeth the issues from the dead. See, when it comes to that one, that's why God shows that I am God and you are not him. Are you with me? I am God. And by the grace of God, I'm not saying something we have not seen, we have seen. Are you with me? And we are going to see even more. Amen. Amen. So, concerning ministers, one of the major challenges a minister can face is you can fall into the trap of over-dependency on the stream of the anointing and you fail on the stream of faith. And let me explain. Have you ever heard of ministers who they do things and you wonder, are these people not Christians? And you know that this person is a minister of God. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If you study the Bible, there is something the Bible talks about. If you want to summarize it in shorter words, there is the spirit within and the spirit upon. As a Christian, there is the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. As a minister, there is the work of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And so, that anointing of the Holy Ghost empowers you to do the work of God. You may be lacking inside, though, but when you climb that altar to minister, because of the gift of God, you will flow. Where you will be exposed is where you now face your own personal challenge. That, you know, a tree does not eat its own fruits. The anointing on you is not for you, it's for the people. If the tree will survive, it has to be fed from its roots. There has to be an inward walk within that believer and God spiritually. So a minister, it has happened to me. Oh, now I'm not talking about other people. Me. By your pastor, Pastor David. There was a time, 2023, I was sick, very sick. I wore coats, came to church, laid hands on the sick. They were healed. I went back, and from there, they took me to the hospital. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you now see where the Bible says, the just shall live by his own faith. So, even the pastor has to now go back and sit with the Bible and hold on to the word of God for himself. Because if he's not careful, he may fall into the trap that many generals of faith. Did you know how Ketri Kuman died in a hospital bed, though? Do you know that? The great healing evangelist that was doing miracles everywhere. She used to empty hundreds of wheelchairs everywhere. But when she was sick and died. She died in the hospital bed. Are you getting me? So the man of God, you must not get carried away by, oh, God, the way the anointing works is almost like magic. I'm telling you, the way the anointing of God works, it is obvious that truly this is a gift from God. I have stretched my hands to people before and strange things left them. People have been scheduled for operation. Like there was a growth in their bodies. I'm talking about their nose here like this. Growth. And I would just stretch my hand. Out! And they came and showed me medical reports that the growth was disappeared. Even me, the pastor, I'm like, ah, God, you too much. Show. Are you getting me? Yes, sir. So sometimes, to also help the pastors, let the pastor come in and have pastor to pray for him. Is that simple? Let somebody use his own anointing. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Another question. Okay. Have you been blessed with this question and answer?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad we did it. I just have a stay in my spirit.
So there's another one. So the next question, when you keep believing God for a particular thing and it begins to take years and that peace hasn't come yet, should you continue?
So you are believing God for a car. Praying, it's not happening. Trusting God is not happening. It's not about should you continue or should you not discontinue. The question is, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? So if you are praying for something and praying for something and praying for something and it's not coming immediately, go and ask the Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? If you pray about it and God doesn't show you anything, keep trusting him and believing him for it. Many times, if you genuinely pray, he will show you something else that he was trying to get your attention to. Imagine being in the shoes of Joseph. Oh God, Lord, I want to go back to Egypt, to Israel. Oh God, open a door for me to go back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying. I pray right now. I am released from this prison. I am released from this prison. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Every limitation, Paul and Silas, they prayed and the prisoners were open. I'm going to give you praise and worship now. Let this prison door be open. And you are Joseph. Please, are you following me? Whereas God has ordained that from that prison, you will meet the person that will recommend you to Pharaoh. Lord, what are you saying? Are you getting me? I'll give an example. There was a lady, one of my spiritual mentees. She attends our Port Harcourt church. For about 5 years, I don't know if you people are aware of this nursing exam that people write to get one scholarship in the UK and they go and start working in the UK. For 5 years, every time she will write that scholarship. In fact, it got so bad. I think it's more than 5 years, though, almost 6 years. It got so bad that she would teach people for the exam. They will pass. She will not pass. Every time they will pass, she will not pass. Every time. And she will always come to my office and cry. Father, what did I do to God? He's God. What did I do? And I'll first of all console her. God loves you. Oh, calm down, calm down, calm down. She said, I'm tempted to talk about this, the testimony on this microphone, but I don't know how it will sound. She may catch me now if she's pulling on online. Well, when she said, I'm not doing it again, I'm not writing this exam again. Supernaturally, she met her husband, got married, they have a baby. Let me say this one out of the mic.
Now, this one, she's going to that UK without the exam. Just like that. A door was created. An opening case. Now, I was sitting
with her in my office. I said, now, would you have preferred your own or God's own? I said, God's own is the best, too. God's own is the best. God's own. God's own. I don't know if you are getting me. So when you are praying about a thing and praying about a thing and praying about a thing, go and ask God. If he doesn't answer you, he has something under his sleeves. There's something that is not showing you yet. So you have to pray like Job. That which I see not, show me. That which I know not, teach me. Are you getting me? See, you have to put it in your mind that God loves you. Have it at the back of your mind. That God, can you say after me, God loves me? Say it again, God loves me. So if you are praying about a thing, but if you are praying about a thing for long, listen, you know, this is another twist. If you are praying about a thing for long, and you know this is what God wants you to get, this is what God wants to do, stand on it. Are you with me? If it means for you to fast and pray. Because sometimes there are other factors that you may not be seeing. Good example. Daniel prayed. Oh God, we need deliverance from Babylon. We want this prophecy to be fulfilled. Teach me what you want me to do. And the Bible says that immediately he prayed, an angel was sent from heaven with the answer. But the angel was waylaid. And this thing is not a joke. Spiritually, there was a demonic interference. And so, when you know that God wants to do something, when you know that God is up to do something, and you are sure this is God's plan, and you are praying about it, and there is no response, you may need to change gears. Are you getting this? Sometimes there may be demonic interferences. 2 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. A great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Sometimes demons are the people that are supposed to help you. The day they plan to help you, that's where the man will say, hey! There is this person I'm supposed to go for. On his way, the tire will burst. Try God. You will hear stories. Being a pastor, there are stories I've heard. I said, this one, demon. Demons. All those minions of darkness. Why is it that it's on the day of the contract? On that day to sign contract. That's when fire will burn in the man's house. The man that will sign the contract. Please, I cannot make it again. I cannot make it. What is happening? There is an explosion in my house. Gree, 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 gree. Before you know, another 4 months have passed. Oh, you know what? Oh, there is this guy that can do it. You know what? Let's leave that other one. The contract has gone to that person. And that cycle just goes. When you see that kind of repeated pattern, that's not the time to be explaining, hey, don't worry, one day. Stand up. Do some dry fasting. Are you with me? Yes, when you feel you're almost close to something, There was a lady, one of my spiritual mentors prayed for. That lady, anybody that is about to marry her, once they propose to her, she will have a dream. Somebody will come and collect her ring and run away in the dream. She always had that kind of dream. Somebody will come and collect the ring and the other person, that the guy that planned to marry her, would just wake up with a strange dream. Somebody came to threaten him. Leave my wife alone. What do you make of that? Are you getting me? And so, you have to raise up fire. Raise fire. Okay. One more question. Okay. So, we're just those two.
Okay. So, the last one online is about the scriptures part. So, the Bible says, for example, Proverbs 10:7, the Bible says the memory of the righteous is blessed. And it was talking about when you think about the righteous. But some people use it to pray.
You know, go walk, oh. If you like no read, you go fail. The memory, and they use them before now. The memory of the just is blessed. That memory there is talking about the goodwill. When people think about a good or a just man, it's a blessed feeling. Are you with me? There is no relationship. Oh. The memory of the just there is talking about when they remember a just man on the things he has done, it is blessed. You know, go read it, say, we're going to money, can't tie a mantle on your head. The memory of the just is blessed. Oh, you have an anointed F. Ah. It's better to pray, you will bring all things to my remembrance. Are you getting me? All things I've studied, Lord, bring it to my remembrance. David says, I have more understanding than my teachers because you are my delight. So, Lord, open my eyes. And that one, I've seen it happen for me. I remember chemistry. I was a spiritual student when I was in the secondary school. I had known the Lord and I was fervent with the Lord. And they told us our mock exam was coming. And I prayed. I said, God, I'm going to read and do my best. I will pour my heart in these studies, but Lord, help me not to fail. I read that Osel Yoababio. I remember his full name because I read that book. I read the book back to back. Then in the night, I had a dream. I saw myself in my classroom and a man standing in white, dressed in a white robe, and said, "Bring, tear the sheet of paper and begin to write." He said, "I'm going to show you the equations for the combustion assemblage, carbon and its compounds." The guy wrote about 8 equations. Obviously, that's either the Lord or an angel of the Lord. 8 equations down for me and said, "Don't forget it. Men and brethren, I came to the exam hall." Open the exam paper. That was compulsory question number 1. 40 marks. Hey! I just felt like coming out and say, "Give me chance. So I want to praise my God." I wrote, you know, when you write paper and you say, "I burnt the paper." Eh? I burnt exam over 180. That's the total score for that exam. Sorry, over 200. After the exam, my chemistry teacher, Mr. Oko, called me. He said, come. Say, "David, what has happened to you?" I said, "Sir, what do you mean?" He said, "The difference between you and the next person was 100 marks. He said, the way you gapped everybody, eh? Because I scored 180, the next person scored 100 or 80. He said, "The way you gapped everybody, like what happened? You don't used to be like this before." I said, "Sir, you know," he started forming. "Sir, you know, we just thank God." And your voice becomes baritonic. "God is faithful. He just..."
Praise God. So in Romans 10 verse 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing of God's word. So my question is, so I should believe that there are different levels of faith, right? And how is it measured? So if you say faith comes by hearing and hearing of God's word, how would you measure that? Oh, you've grown in this level of faith, or you've grown. Do you understand?
Okay.
Is this question clear?
Yeah.
Then is the word of God just for us to stop and help our faith in the times of trials or need? And then is faith also another question: faith just builds to help us know God in terms of like knowing His capacity of what God can do and knowing me as a person. I don't know if the question is clear.
Okay, let me start from this last one. Is I think you are trying to ask: is faith just for signs and wonders, doing things, making things happen, opening doors, right?
Yes.
The answer is no. And from what we said yesterday, it is the life we live in anticipation of the coming of Christ. It is our response to the word of God and the promises of God. Our demonstrative response to the promises of God. My teaching today will actually answer also this last question. Are you with me? Then, the other question you asked is, how do you know how much faith? Or how do you measure the faith? So, if you look at the life of Jesus, you will see him make statements. He will say, why do you have no faith? Then he will look at some people and say, oh, you have little faith. Are you with me? Then some people, he said, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Are you with me? When the children of the friends of that paralyzed man pulled off the roof to put their friend in, Jesus says, and when he saw their faith, are you with me? When the woman came and touched the hem of his garment, he said, go in peace, thy faith has made thee whole. So, Jesus, we can use the category of Jesus, no faith, little faith, much faith, and great faith. I've not found so great faith, not in Israel. So we can use that category. And faith is measured, the strength of the faith is measured on how strong is your response to the word of God. I don't know if you are getting me. Have you seen that verse of the Bible that says, and Abraham being fully persuaded? So that means you can be persuaded at a different level, but you can be fully persuaded where there is no longer shadow of doubt. And I'm going to show us in this conference how to get to that point. Is that clear? Okay. Because you can actually have faith, but within you, like, God, I believe you, but this thing. So it's not like you don't have faith. You have faith, you believe God, but it's like it has not yet fully settled, right? So you can actually get to the point where it is fully settled. Look at that guy. I think it's today I'm going to talk about that, where he said, I believe, help down my unbelief. So there was belief and unbelief mixed together. It's like, I believe, but there is this other part that is not sure. God, help me, help me. Are you with me? It happens. It happens. Even as your pastor, there are some times where there are things we are praying to God from, like, God, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Amen. So, I thought, okay. One last question. Kai, you are strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody.
God bless you. My question is drawn from Matthew 17:20, where Jesus spoke to his disciples and told them,
this time going not out.
Yes. But he said that if you have a mustard seed of faith, able to speak to this mountain, be moved, and it shall be moved. But you mentioned something earlier, that you can't talk to physical objects and tell, you can't lift physical objects, like lifting something as huge as a tractor, saying, God can strengthen me to do all things. So what was Jesus trying to paint? Saying something as a mountain, you can, if you speak to it, be moved. You know.
Okay. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. I want to ask you, when you buy a land and there is a mountain on your land, why do you call it tractor? Why did you call explosives to explode the mountain? I will get to it in this teaching. I will get to it. Let me not confuse you too much. I will get to it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you gained something? Were you blessed with the question and answer session? Okay.